The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bonjour, hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt in the Columbus, Ohio studios of 98.9 The Answer. Great weekend to be in Ohio because the Browns won, the Bengals won, the Ohio State Buckeyes crushed Indiana, and the Steelers didn't play. So it's like the perfect weekend to be in Columbus. But I'm in Columbus because last night I moderated a debate among the six front-running, leading candidates for the Ohio GOP's nomination to replace in the United States Senate Rob Portman. So Aaron Baer of the Center for Christian Virtue and 98.9 The Answer in Columbus co-sponsored this. It was held at Genoa Church. There were 1,500 people there, 1,250 of whom paid to come, which is a demand signal for serious debates in these times. And the six candidates, State Senator Matt Dolan, businessman Mike Gibbons, former Ohio Treasurer Josh Mandel, businessman, Cleveland businessman Bernie Marino, former Ohio GOP Chair Jane Timken, author and investment banker J.D. Vance. All six of them have an incredible war chest, and they're already running ads because Ohio is believed to be a red state, but it's going to, they were all good, by the way. You'll hear a couple of clips of them. I can't replay a two-hour debate. What I want to tell you is we used Hugh's rules, same rules I used for the California Republican recall debate that I moderated with others, including Fox LA and former Ambassador O'Brien at the Nixon Library a couple of months ago. Hugh's rules are only three. Questions from the moderator should be 30 seconds or less because the moderators aren't the story. Candidates get 75 seconds, then a bell sounds, and then it sounds again in 5 seconds and keeps sounding if they continue to talk. It always works. And there's no right of reply. Somebody runs you over with a Mack truck. Candidate A says candidate B should be arrested for larceny. Candidate B can't just jump in. Don't I get a right to say that? No, you don't. You have to wait till your turn comes around again. We got through so many questions. All right. Now my questions were, can you beat Tim Ryan? Because he's a very good candidate. Do you want Rob Portman's endorsement? He's a center-right candidate. I like Rob Portman a lot. I think he's a great Republican senator. And he's retiring after two terms of magnificent public service. Would you vote for the infrastructure bill that Senator Portman was the lead negotiator on, in which 17 Republicans voted yes and 32 voted no, I believe. So one of them may have been absent that day. And that got a division among the five with Senator Matt Dolan, an Ohio State senator, saying yes, he would. Now, he's the head of infrastructure appropriations in Ohio, so he digs bridges and roads. So Matt Dolan came in for that. The other five said no. So clear separation. I asked them about immigration, and the assumption was, here's the assumption, no, we're all going to finish the wall, and there's not going to be an amnesty. So we got six great answers. I asked them about hypersonic missiles from China and breaking up big tech. And about the 363 American citizens who have been left behind are still in Afghanistan, and what would they do? And many other questions. Now, before I get to their answers, I want also for you to hear in a Republican debate moderated by a center-right journalist like me and Aaron Baer of the Center for Christian Virtue, they got a lot of questions that matter to the Republican electorate. Okay, they're not legacy media questions. So I asked Generalissimo to compile a montage of Aaron Baer's questions before I get deeper into what the candidates said last night, because it's informative of everything going on around the country. Glenn Youngkin in Virginia is now ahead of Terry McAuliffe and is surging. You know why? He's not letting legacy media filter his message. He's not biting. He's not taking their bait. He's talking about education. Then he talks about education. Then he talks about education, taxes, jobs, education. And we did a lot of that. Here are Aaron's questions from last night. Cut number 14.
You know, it is an especially difficult time to be a child in America today. What do you think is the greatest crisis facing our kids, and what will and can you do about it if you're elected U.S. Senator? So, J.D. Vance, we're going to start with you here. Confirming judicial nominations is one of the most important roles that the next Ohio's next U.S. Senator will have. When you sit down, if you're the next senator, when you sit down with a candidate, what will be your red lines? You know, what will be the things that a candidate that would disqualify a nominee in your mind from being on the bench? So I want to talk about the Equality Act right now. The Equality Act is it is a bill that has passed Congress, is before the Senate, U.S. Senate right now. This bill would make sexual orientation and gender identity protected classes. Actually, J.D. Vance alluded earlier to Loudoun County, and this is the policy that was in place that allows boys to use girls' restrooms, men in women's private spaces. I'd like to know your position on the Equality Act and why that is your position. Josh Mandel, we'll start with you. J.D., in the past, you were very critical of President Trump. Today, not so much. Today, you're praising him. Why the switch? What happened? Matt Dolan, you brought up earlier when we were talking about the Equality Act, you brought up the Ohio Fairness Act. The Ohio Fairness Act says sexual orientation and gender identity are protected classes in the state. And there's the question about gender identity and how it allows men who identify as women in private spaces. Now, you're saying that's not in the bill, and there's disagreement about that. Would you propose an amendment to the Ohio Fairness Act that's in the legislature right now? Would you propose an amendment to clarify that men cannot be in private spaces, girls cannot be in boys' sports, and so on? So, Josh Mandel, in 2012, you ran against Sherrod Brown for U.S. Senate and lost 51-44. Why do you think you'll win this time? Jane, when you were Ohio GOP chairwoman, Anthony Gonzalez, congressman from Northeast Ohio, voted to impeach President Trump. He voted with the Democrats on that. At the time, you said he had a rational reason for doing that. Then, a few months ago, you called for Anthony to resign. Why the change in position? So, Mike Gibbons, in 2018, you ran for U.S. Senate, and you lost to Jim Renacci at the time by 14 to 15 points. And of all the candidates on the stage right now, while you've invested significant personal resources, you've raised the least from individual voters. Why do you think you're the right one to win this race, and that doesn't bring that brings something that these other candidates don't bring? Bernie, last with you. There's an organization called Ohio Business Competes that's a coalition of businesses that's advocating for the Ohio Fairness Act, making sexual orientation and gender identity protected classes in the state of Ohio. Bernie Moreno Companies is listed on the website as one of the co-signers in support of this bill. Why do you support that bill, or why did you decide to sign on to Ohio Business Competes? I want to go back to education here briefly. As we mentioned, Hugh and I are both Warren guys. I'm Warren G. Harding, class of 2005. He is JFK, class of... doesn't matter. but Terry McAuliffe in the Virginia governor's race recently said, parents shouldn't tell schools what to teach. Bernie Moreno, I'm going to start with you on this. How do we fix the crisis in schools right now? We have people in here that have been filling city council and school board meetings. How do we fix the crisis in schools right now to make them more responsive to parents? Senator Dolan, I want to come to you on this. We in this last state budget, there was an expansion of school choice programs. Right now, people have been seeing the ads for the backpack bill that's moving at the state house. What do you think we do on this issue of bringing schools more responsive to parents? So in 2020, according to the Ohio Department of Health, we had a 25% increase in drug overdose deaths in the state of Ohio, actually the highest in the last decade. And actually, according to one news report in Trumbull County, our home county, they're already exceeding their number of overdose deaths this year than last year. So, Mike Gibbons, I want to hear from you. How do you diagnose this problem? What's causing this problem? And what would you do about it as U.S. Senator?
So that was Aaron Baer's question set. Now, I've already told you my question. I'm going to replay the audio of me. And I did a climate change question. Here is my final question to the candidates last night. I'm going to talk to you about how the candidates did well, and I'll play you a montage of one of their answers. I can't replay a two-hour debate. But you got the idea. Those were substantive, significant questions. Key here is there are questions Republicans wanted to hear answered by the candidates who want to be their nominee, not legacy media questions. Cut number 13, my last question of the night.
My last question, and thank you all. You've all been very respectful of each other and embraced the rules, is about debates. Because you have two conservatives asking questions, the questions have been of interest to conservatives. So, and if my friends in the legacy media had been here, you would have been asked about January 6th and then January 6th, then you would have been asked about January 6th, which was terrible, but then you would have been asked about Donald Trump's role in the January 6th. Instead, we've been talking about issues. Two-part question. We'll do this again in the end of March. Will you come? And then secondly, if you are the nominee, will you reject any attempt to have a debate with Tim Ryan that consists of a local PBS host who will be a liberal, a local Plain Dealer writer who will be a liberal, and a Cincinnati Inquirer writer who will be a liberal, and then they'll fly in someone from D.C. who, though not declared, will be a liberal? Jane.
So you see, I'm on a mission to get rid of the Presidential Debate Commission and to make Republican debates for Republicans and general election debates fair so that questions are fair, but also reflect half of this polarized country's points of view. I'll be right back, America, from 89.9 The Answer in Columbus, Ohio, home of the Buckeyes. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Brought to you by ReliefFactor.com. $19.95 gets you started on ReliefFactor.com. I talk about it three times in my daily show, at the bottom of the first hour when I take it, and then in hours two and three when I remind you to take it, depending on when your commute begins, because ReliefFactor.com works. It's the only supplement I've taken in 30 years of broadcasting. I've declined every other opportunity to take a supplement, and I'll tell you why. Because ReliefFactor.com actually works. I carry in Curcumin Resveratrol Omega, temporary relief for the relief of minor aches and pains, temporary support for the relief of minor aches and pains, and you can't do better than that three-week starter pack, 1994. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt inside of Columbus Studios of 89.9 The Answer. If you're not listening to 98.9 in Columbus is a terrific Salem affiliate run by a terrific Carolyn Cassidy and everybody involved in this event, Ann and Alan and Al. Everybody involved in this thing. We had 1,500 people out last night for a Republican debate. Let's get to that debate. I want to give you a chance to hear the candidates answer a question. Let's start with question number 12. I asked them all, can you beat Tim Ryan?
It is likely that one of you will face the congressman that represents Warren, Tim Ryan. I know Tim Ryan. I've worked with Tim Ryan. Tim Ryan is a friend of mine. He is not a pushover. He's a tough candidate. So why are each of you best positioned to beat Tim Ryan, especially in a state that sometimes goes blue but increasingly goes red? How are you best of these six to win that race?
Well, thank you, Hugh, and thank you for having me. Let me just start by acknowledging my wife of 32 years who's with me here tonight. I couldn't be here without her, so thank you very much, Bridget, wherever you are. Secondly, on the question of Warren, it's all about jobs. And that's what I've done my entire life is I consider myself a job creator. I could have moved my company to any place other than Ohio, but I kept my headquarters here, kept thousands of employees here in Ohio. When the Lordstown plant was closing, I went to a very wealthy business partner of mine, and together we put a proposal together to save the Lordstown plant. And that proposal would have kept the union workers there, would have kept two shifts at Lordstown, and we would have had the opportunity to create a ride-sharing service to compete with Uber and Lyft called Cruise. Unfortunately, General Motors did not accept our proposal, but I risked my entire wealth to make that happen because I think at the end of the day, what we have to do as public officials and public leaders is be the advocate for Ohio. That's what I've done. My 16 and a half years that I've been in Cleveland is advocate to make certain we bring good, high quality paying jobs to places like Warren, Ohio, which have been lost by both parties. In fact, good to know that the hot dog shop may even close. You know, that will create a riot, Hugh. So it's about, exactly. So it's about jobs, good, high paying jobs.
Josh.
The question was, why am I the best candidate to beat Tim Ryan? I'm the only candidate up here that's running his campaign through churches. My opponents are all running their campaign through traditional Republican Party groups, which is fine. But I believe that with everything we're facing in this country, we're not going to save the country for our kids and grandkids in Republican Party offices. We're going to save the country in houses of worship like this. When I first started running the campaign through churches, people were laughing at me and ridiculing me. We had our first church town hall in a town called Bucyrus, Ohio, about an hour from here. And in Bucyrus, we were hoping to have about 50 people show up. We had 250 people show up at Victory and Truth Ministries. We then went to Findlay, had 270 people show up at First Nazarene, had 300 people show up at Washington Baptist, had 500 people show up at Solid Rock Church in Lebanon. And then we had 600 people show up at Community Grace Brethren, a church in the middle of a cornfield in Miami County. And the reason I'm running my campaign through churches instead of running my campaign through traditional Republican Party groups is because this fight is to protect the Judeo-Christian bedrock of America.
J.D.
Yeah, well, thanks, Hugh and Aaron. Thanks to CCV for doing this, and thanks to all of you for coming. I'm excited about tonight, excited to get to talk with you. You know, I think the way to take on Tim Ryan is twofold, and this is the reason I'm best able to do it, is first of all, at the end of the day, Tim Ryan is going to make this about his biography. He's going to make it about union jobs. He's going to make it about blue-collar workers. And I actually come from a part of the country, and I lived in a family that was devastated by the fact that Tim Ryan, despite all of his rhetoric, let good middle-class jobs go to China because he didn't protect them. And the leaders of our country, bipartisan leaders, unfortunately, didn't protect them. So I think we can go after Tim Ryan on the fact that he's basically a fraud and a phony. He says all these great things. He doesn't actually do it. He's been in office for 20 years and hasn't protected those middle-class jobs. I think the other thing we can do is, you know, the Democrats have gone so crazy on the social issues, on the gender issue, on the abortion issue. I mean, you know, 20 years ago, it was safe, legal, and rare, which wasn't my view, but that was at least a different view than now. It's like shout your abortion from the rooftops. I think we have to be willing as Republicans in a general election to hammer the left on how crazy they've gone on social issues, because those are the issues where we actually have an opportunity. Those are the issues, I think, where we have an opportunity to show who we are and just how radical the Democrats have gotten.
Thank you. Mike.
Well, I'm a businessman. I'm not a politician. And I think the last thing this state wants right now is another career politician in office. I can't tell you how physically ill I get every time I hear a career politician pump their arm and say, I'm going to create jobs, jobs, jobs. They don't have the slightest idea how a job is created. Jobs are created by business people taking risk. And we've got to get government out of business regulation. We've got to make sure that tax rates stay low. And this guy stands for just the opposite. Now, I also come from a working class background. My grandfather was president of a local labor's union in Cleveland. I'm going to get union support. My ethnicity is great, particularly in Cuyahoga County. Tim Ryan is going to have his hands full because, frankly, I don't think a career politician knows enough to get elected in this state.
Thank you. Senator.
Thank you. Thank you, CCV, for having us tonight. Just a brief moment. Let's remember that there are fellow Ohioans right now who, in an act of God, went to Haiti and are now being held hostage. So as you go to bed tonight, please keep them in your prayers. Tim Ryan is going to have a problem with me because I'm the only one that's on the stage who's been in Youngstown in the Mahoning Valley to fix it. He's going to look inward and say, boy, Dolan's been here for American Works. Dolan's been here for Voltage Valley. But when you look broadly, they're also going to see that in my time in the legislature and in my time as private sector, I understand what it takes to get Ohio moving. I've cut your taxes. I've reduced your regulation. I have allowed you as parents to choose where you should send your child to school so that no public school can keep your child behind. In addition, I'm the only one that's been on the ballot twice with Donald Trump. And both times, I won and outperformed the president by 11,000 votes. You know what that means in November? That means I can attract Trump Republican votes and the necessary independent votes it's going to take to win in November and lead in January.
Thank you. Jane?
Thank you all for having me here. I really appreciate it. I'm the best candidate here tonight to defeat Tim Ryan because I am the only candidate that's actually been in the trenches fighting for our conservative values and for the America First agenda. President Trump endorsed and supported me to take on the party as chair of the party, and I delivered and unified the Ohio Republican Party, delivered results in 2018, and proudly delivered Ohio for President Trump by more than 8.5 points. I know how to win. I know how to win these races in Ohio because I've done it. as I've traveled 150,000 miles in my car all across the state of Ohio. I know what Ohio values are, and I know which policies from Washington work for Ohioans and which ones do not. And I'm in this fight for the America First agenda. President Trump was right. We need to bring our manufacturing back. We need to champion our blue-collar men and women, the forgotten men and women who are in the trenches fighting for their families. It's about our faith, our freedoms, and our families. And that's why I will be the best United States senator and defeat Tim Ryan.
So that is an example of how you run a debate. Six great candidates, and they all have money. Right, we're talking about this is going to be an epic battle. I hope they don't bleed each other out because Tim Ryan will be a formidable candidate. If you were there, by the way, 1-800-520-1234. I'd love to know what you thought. Afterwards, I do my sampling. If you have 1,500 people, you don't plunge into a crowd. You kind of move around the periphery. And everyone of the six candidates had their supporters come up to me and say how great their candidate did. And there was no obvious faceplant. There was, because we weren't looking for gotcha moments. These aren't gotcha questions. You ask someone about climate change and where it is on their agenda, as I did, or if you ask them about the Equality Act, as Aaron did, or you talk to them about school choice, as Aaron did, or you bring back hypersonic missile launch by China, as I did, they will talk to you.
Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt for Birch Gold. If you found yourself completely befuddled by events in Afghanistan, alarmed about inflation and otherwise uneasy, well, about everything, about Americans standing in the world, about what comes next, then you're feeling like everybody else is, and uncertainty is usually a time that you want to increase your holdings in gold. When I do that, I do it with Birch Gold. I buy my gold from Birch Gold. You can go to HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747. They will send you free information. If you want to roll over a portion of your IRA or your 401k into physical precious metals, Birch Gold is who to do that with. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, thousands of happy customers. If you're thinking, I got to get some gold, do it with Birch Gold via HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. That's Hugh to 474747 or HughGold.com.
Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt. Wake up, get going. Get out there on the road and get moving. It's going to be a great week. It's going to be a fascinating week in American politics as Democrats decide who to try and soak. They're going to try and soak the rich. Last night in Columbus, I moderated a debate of six Republican candidates, all searching for the nomination to replace Rob Portman in the Senate. And it was a very good debate because we use Hugh's rules, which are very simply 30-second questions from the moderator. This is not for moderators. I was teamed up with Aaron Baer of the Center for Christian Virtue. And I invented these rules for the Republican recall debate. 30-second questions from the moderators. There's no need for anyone to go longer than that. 75 seconds for the answers. No right of reply. We got through, I don't know, 20 different subjects in 2 hours, one of which was immigration. And given that we had the six Republican candidates, they're all well-funded, they're all smart, they're all successful, they all have different points of view. I want you to hear how I approached immigration with Republican candidates in Ohio last night. Cut number 9.
Assuming, in fact, all of you assume that the wall will be finished and that you're all against amnesty. These are basic. If you disagree with those, by all means, tell me. But I'm assuming you want the wall completed and you're against amnesty. What immigration legislation, in addition to those two positions, do you believe in, Josh Mandel?
First of all, I'm a Marine Corps vet. I did a couple tours in Iraq, in Anbar province, and I did my small part. And what kills me watching this immigration issue is the fact that we have homeless veterans living under bridges, and we have the politicians in Washington, Democrat and Republican, who are using our tax money to pay for illegal immigrants to stay in hotels on the southern border. Think about that for a second. So first and foremost, Hugh, I would advance legislation to make sure that not one penny of our tax money is ever spent on an illegal while we have homeless veterans living under bridges and on the streets. Second, I believe that George Soros is funding, Obama is coordinating, And Biden is enabling an invasion of our country. This is not a crisis. This is an invasion. And so I believe we should be stacking up on the southern border, not only border guards, but also National Guard troops from Ohio and from states all around the country to secure the border for good.
Jane Timken, what immigration legislation would you support other than the wall and no amnesty?
Well, first of all, I'm the granddaughter of Irish immigrants and the daughter of an immigrant. So I think I have an understanding of immigration, and so many people want to come to this country. But President Trump is right. America first means the sovereignty of our country. And besides building the wall, we need to make sure that our federal funding is going to investing in our Border Patrol agents and making sure they have the resources. We should be in funding new technologies. If, assuming the wall is built, there should be more surveillance technology. But fundamentally, what we're watching and witnessing is an invasion of our southern border. We need an investigation now as to what is happening, who's funding this immigration invasion right now. We need to make sure that we're securing our country, putting America first, putting American workers first. It needs to stop, because we are now seeing the Democrats take taxpayer dollars and pay illegal immigrants $15,000 in New York. That's wrong. We need to make sure we're taking care of our communities, because what's happening with the southern border, we have fentanyl and meth and other drugs coming into Ohio, where we had record overdoses in Ohio. We need it to stop, because it's affecting our families and our communities. And most importantly as well, we are one of the highest human trafficking states, and we need to stop that. It's affecting families. I'm in this fight for American families and Ohio families and America first.
Mike Gibbon.
You know, there's anywhere from 150 million to 750 million people in the world outside of the United States who would drop anything, everything they're doing right now, and move to the United States. Joe Biden just said, open borders. And we're seeing what's happening. The only way to stop this is to get comprehensive immigration legislation through. And the only way to do that is going to be get a filibuster-proof majority in the House and the Senate. And I want to tell you the first couple of things I would do. First of all, anybody that came here illegally under the Biden administration is heading back to their country of origin. Secondly, we need to make sure in this legislation that nobody ever has even a hope of becoming a citizen of the United States if they came here illegally. If we don't do that, they're going to keep pouring across the border, because every time a Democratic administration gets in, they'll open the wall. And we need to finish the wall, obviously.
J.D. Vance.
Yeah, so I think one of the craziest things about our present immigration crisis is my kid is made to wear a mask at school, and yet illegal aliens are allowed to walk across our border without a shot, without any restrictions, without any requirements. And so the legislation that I would propose says, if you're a corporation, if you're a state government, if you're the federal government, you cannot make an American citizen do a single thing you're not willing to make an illegal immigrant do. Now, the second thing is, I really think that assuming we get our immigration system under control, we need to reform our legal immigration system in this country. We're the only advanced economy in the world that basically lets people come into our country based on family relationships instead of based on merit. If you come into this country, it should be because you enrich the American way of life, not because your great-great-granddaughter came here 10 years ago. That needs to change. That's the other thing I'd do.
Senator McGowan.
Thank you. So aren't we all tired of talking about immigration reform? Wouldn't it be great if we had a president who made it his signature reason why he should be elected and actually got it done? And we did. We had President Trump. So the easiest thing for me to do is to say, I'm going to put the legislation in that actually worked, that President Trump did. Stay in Mexico policy, finish the wall. But he even describes the wall as a physical barrier, a technological barrier, and Border Patrol, more personnel. But guess what happened, folks? This matters. I may not be the best at getting you to stand on your feet and applause, but I can get things done. And in 2017, When President Trump went to the White House to secure our borders, because he can't have a nation without borders, we had the White House, we had the Congress, we had Republicans in the Senate, we had Republicans in the House, and we didn't get it done. As a result, President Trump had to fight through and get it done by executive order. And you saw what happened on January 20th, 2021. It went away immediately. Folks, it is easy to get you riled up by defining the problem. You better send somebody to Washington like me who knows how to address the problem, to get it done, to fix our problems so we can move on in this country and not rehash the same old problems. President Trump got it right. That will be the legislation that we need to be put in place, and it will stay in place no matter who else goes into the White House.
And Bernie Moreno.
Was this pick on the immigrant to answer that question last?
Yes, I did.
Perfect. No, this is a very serious issue. I would encourage my fellow candidates before the primary to visit the border, like I did 3 weeks ago. I think if you went there, you'd realize, Josh, you're not staying at hotels. They're getting on buses and planes and going all over America. If only they were staying in hotels. They're being shipped everywhere. This is a intentional invasion of our country. I'm glad to hear my opponents say that. I've been saying that since the day I announced my campaign. Because let me tell you this. It is more offensive to those of us who came here legally to see people come here illegally is out of control crazy. And what we have to do, the question was, what exact things would I do? Number one, and I've been saying this since day one, we have to send the U.S. military, the National Guard's already there. We have to send the U.S. military there and designate the Mexican drug cartels, who's paying for those immigrants to come here, as a foreign terrorist organization. By doing that, it allows us to go into Mexico and wipe them off the face of this hemisphere. Then the second thing we do, and I agree with JD, is we have to think about immigration from what is a value add for America. Every other country on earth looks at immigration that way, except for the United States. That's got to change.
I got to tell you, all six candidates were great on that. They each had their moments last night. The last person you heard speaking, Bernie Moreno, is a very successful businessman from Cleveland. Afterwards, just talking to random people, I think a lot of people who did not know who Bernie Moreno was before the debate last night, who was in the audience, came away very impressed with his chops. Matt Dolan is running for the Rob Portman lane and is a very smart guy and delivered very crisp, legislatively informed answers. Mike Gibbons is a populist businessman who's run before and had a great appeal last night as sort of a success story from Cleveland. Josh Mandel, Ohio voters know him. He's decided to he and J.D. Vance are both running for the hardcore Trump vote, which is smart in Ohio because Trump flipped Ohio from blue to red. And he did it in Mahoning and Trumbull counties, and they both put their arms around Donald Trump last night. Jane Timken is a longtime laborer in the vineyards of Ohio Republican politics. And often in a race like this where you have six good candidates and they're all funded, the last man standing is the only woman on the ballot because there are some people that will vote gender. And if Jane Timken just stays in the race, you'll never know. This race will be impossible to pull. Never believe a poll about a six-person race in a primary in Ohio in an off year where everyone is funded. Not going to be worth your time. I'm going to put, by the way, the entire debate at the interview with Hugh Hewitt today as my podcast. We'll play the entire thing. If you're interested in actually hearing these candidates at length, all you have to do is go to the interview with Hugh Hewitt, and it will be there. Let me, and you can also listen to Highly Concentrated Hugh for a replay of a few segments, as well as Aaron Baer's questions back to back. That will be today's Hugh Hewitt show. I want to remind you that our sponsor is AndrewandTodd.com. They're with Sierra Pacific. They lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to AndrewandTodd.com or call them at 888-888-1172. Welcome back, America. You do it from the studios of 98.9. The Answer in Columbus. I'm so glad to be in Columbus. We had a great debate last night. Bruce Hooley, our midday guy in Columbus kicked it off, and then we had six Republican candidates for Senate. And they are all very, very good. Matt Dolan is a state senator. Mike Gibbons is a businessman from Cleveland. Josh Mandel, former Ohio treasurer. Bernie Marino is a very successful businessman from Cleveland. Jane Timken, the former chair of the Ohio Republican Party, and J.D. Vance, author and investor. You've read, of course, Hillbilly Elegy, or you've heard about it. Day six came together, and it was moderated by me and by the Center for Christian Virtues, Aaron Baer. And I will post the entire debate over at the interview with Hugh Hewitt later today. Let me play for you one round of questions on big tech. Cut number nine.
Big tech is much in the news. Many people want to break up certain companies. Other people want to regulate certain companies. Some conservatives say let the market rule. Some national security conservatives say insert our intelligence agencies into these corporations. What would you propose and what would you support as a senator as a legislative or regulatory approach to big tech?
Well, the first thing on this issue that when it came to light is
Senator
I don't
Matt
delete
Dolan.
Any of my tweets. So I'm very transparent public official. And I believe I was the first one on this stage to come out and condemn the idea that the president of the United States is being taken off of social media, that the president of the United States, if they can do it to him, they can do it to any one of us and cut our speech off. However, what we do need to do is make sure that any avenue of speech is available. So if you break up the companies, what it really means is provide for more social media companies to be available so that you choose to go where you want to go. And if someone is shutting you down, you walk, you get out. And the marketplace will take care of that. So we're seeing that happen with Parler and other media posts. And President Trump himself, you know, the market we create, capitalism we create, is going to allow him to create a platform. So you start getting government involved and saying, oh, no, we're going to break them all up. We're going to shut you down. You're going to end up stifling speech as well. So we've got to make sure that there are plenty of platforms and then let the marketplace decide who's telling the truth. And believe me, advertisers will follow. If you go to sites where you all are, they'll follow. They'll be just fine.
J.D.
Yeah, I was actually involved in Parler right after January the 6th. And I remember when every single big technology company, Google, Apple, Facebook, and even a couple of web hosts companies basically came against Parler and said, we're going to shut your entire website down. They built a conservative alternative to Twitter. We're going to shut your entire website down. And they had the power to do that. We absolutely have to accept these companies are way too powerful and we have to break them up. We have to create more competition in this marketplace or we're not going to have the ability to speak our minds as conservatives. Right now in this country, if you build an alternative website, and I've invested in some of these websites, some of them are very good, but the big tech companies are still so powerful that they can shut them down. They can shut them off the internet. We are approaching a moment in this country. They kick the president of the United States off. They censor conservative middle-class Ohioans all the time. We're approaching a point in this country where four or five technology companies control what you're allowed to say, how you're allowed to say it. And at the end of the day, if they control what you're allowed to say, they'll eventually control what you're allowed to think. And that is the end of the constitutional republic in this country. We have to go to war against these companies or they're going to destroy our country.
Bernie Marino.
So let me just address the woke corporation issue real quick, because the best way to fight against these woke corporations is not to take their money. So I'm very proud of the fact that I am the only candidate here that does not take any corporate PAC money, which, by the way, let me just say a plug. That means I need the help from all of you. All right. So make sure you know that. BernieMarino.com. Click. It's easy. All right. So now that I got that out of the way, there's two buckets of companies that are very different. Google and Amazon Google needs to be separated from all of its other entities and be regulated like a utility. That's something I talked to the Attorney General here in Ohio about 3 years ago. In terms of Amazon, the business that puts small businesses out of business, that's one entity. And AWS, which is where all of your data is stored, is a separate company, needs to be a separate company, and that needs to be regulated like utility, because that's who shut down Parler. And then these other companies, you need to do two things. You need to have a one-click unsubscribe. If I want to get out of Facebook, I hit one button, and all of my data is transported to whatever other platform I can put my data into. And secondly, if they sell your data, you get a piece of the pie. That's the only way to fix it.
Jane.
Yes. I think clearly big tech corporations are in bed with the liberal left. And I think that they're incredibly way too powerful. And they are threatening the conservative voices. We're in a situation right now that if you speak up against vaccine mandates or mask mandates, you could be silenced. If you speak up in support of your constitutional right to keep and bear arms, you can be silenced. We need people who are going to stand up and push back against these big tech corporations. Look, they're provided Section 230 immunity, and that was for a free and open internet, but that's not what we have right now. These corporations are picking and choosing what you see and what you hear and what you can say. That needs to stop. They should not have immunity, and they should be broken up. The problem is, if they break up and we have alternative conservative platforms, they can be affected by what these other corporations are doing. We need to make sure that we have a free and fair dialogue in this country. It's about our First Amendment freedom of speech. I'm in this race to stand up and fight for your freedoms. Your First Amendment freedom of speech is paramount to me.
Mike Gibbons.
And by the way, Bernie, I want to call attention to something you said. I do have an MBA. That is business school.
That's true.
In fact, I even taught there. secondly, I'm an investment banker, and my job has been convincing CFOs and CEOs all over the world that my ideas were the right ideas. I work with antitrust law every time we do a deal. Existing antitrust law cannot be used here, but maybe with the possible exception of Amazon. Antitrust laws were built to protect consumers. I think the way to attack the social media is on a First Amendment basis. And I'll tell you why. I'm sure you heard Jen Psaki say that she indeed was conspiring with Facebook to take certain things off the internet, to cancel certain people. There's a thing called the First Amendment. The government is now using Facebook as an instrumentality of the government. If that isn't a violation of the First Amendment, I'd like to find out what is.
Josh Mandel.
All right, so I've been thinking about this idea for a while, and I guess I'll throw it out there and see what you guys think. So in the elections, Facebook, Twitter, Google, all these like Silicon Valley thugs, they kick Republican candidates, especially pro-God, pro-gun, pro-Trump candidates like myself. They kick us off. They suspend us, what have you. So here's my idea. If a conservative candidate gets kicked off of Facebook or kicked off of Twitter or any of these platforms, and they let the Democrats stay on, essentially what Facebook or Twitter, these companies are doing, they are making a multi-million dollar in-kind contribution to the Democrat. Federal campaign finance law says that you're only allowed to give $5,800 to a candidate. So if they're making a multi-million dollar corporate contribution to a candidate, that's in violation of federal law. Put on their criminal penalties. Put Mark Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey and all these thugs in prison.
I got to tell you, the audience last night was very much into big tech. I also have to tell you, 1,500 people. AP says 950. It was 1,500. We actually have a count. We know how many people tickets. We know how big the sanctuary was. Completely jammed at Genoa Church. Never trust the legacy media. I will post the entire debate over at The Interview with Hugh Hewitt, available at iTunes, Spotify, Salem Podcast Network, all over the internet in a couple hours. We'll get that up there, all 2 hours. Here's the bottom line on debates, friends, and you've got to hear me on this. Republicans do not get a fair shake at debate because the moderators are interested in becoming superstars and interrupting and injecting themselves. Hughes rules. Now, I've moderated debates for Senate candidates, for presidential candidates, for gubernatorial candidates. In the recall, I just moderated a debate in California for recall candidates. And last night we had six Republican Senate candidates with Aaron Baer as my co-moderator. Only need three rules. Number one, moderators cannot ask questions longer than 30 seconds because it's not about you, moderators. Number two, you've got to have 75 seconds to answer, which is plenty of time. You just heard six good answers on big tech from six different perspectives, right? Matt Dolan, Mike Gibbons, Josh Mandel, Bernie Marino, Jane Timken, and J.D. Vance, they all got their at-bat on big tech, and they all hit. Some hit singles, some doubles, some triples, one home run. And they were good. They're good, solid answers about a good, important question that concerns conservatives. Number three, did you hear Mike Gibbon say, I got to go back to Bernie to what you said about MBAs. You're having the only MBA on the stage. I got an MBA. That was from two rounds earlier, because there is no right of reply in this debate. If your name gets mentioned by candidate A, candidate B has to wait until the term comes around. You don't interrupt. You don't get a mud fight going in the middle of a concentrated few questions on one topic. This is how you run a debate. I have been in the network rooms, right? I know how they work. I work with CNN on four of the presidential debates, four of the Trump debates. This is not their objective. Their objective is not to show you what the candidates think about important issues to Republican primary voters or to general election voters. Their intent is to get ratings and make money. And God bless them. That's American. But if you want Republican candidates to present fairly what they believe, then put center-right conservative commentators in charge like Aaron and I and give them 75 seconds and no right of reply. And if they want to use their time, and some other people did at various points, to go back to something, they will. And then you have 2 hours. We must have covered 20 different subjects last night, and it was terrific. I'll play for you in the last segment Aaron Baer's questions to conclude tonight. But it's terrific. Morning glory, America. Bonjour. Hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt, live from Columbus in the studios of 98.9 The Answer in Columbus. Last night, I was in Buckeye Land to moderate, along with Aaron Baer, the six-party campaign first debate of the 2022 Republican nomination cycle. And it featured the six major candidates, Mike Gibbons and Matt Dolan. Mike is a businessman. Matt Dolan is a state senator. We had Jane Timken, the former Ohio Republican chairwoman, and we had Bernie Marino, a very charismatic businessman from Cleveland, Josh Mandel, who everybody knows from a few races. He's running again. J.D. Vance, the author, was there as well. And we just had a great debate. Jane Timken, the former head of the GOP party. And it's interesting that in this morning's Punch Bowl News, Jake Sherman joins me now, punchbowlnews.com. He showed a couple of the ads that came up last night, Jake. You ran the J.D. Vance ad, and J.D.'s response was, yeah, they should call it the Club for Chinese Growth. And, I mean, it's very interesting. This Ohio Senate race is probably going to be a $300 million primary race, Jake Sherman.
Yeah, and I know you're friendly with Tim Ryan. I don't have any idea whether you think a Democrat could win. Obviously, Ohio is trending quite red in recent years, but that's a good way of deflecting the fact that J.D. Vance was against Trump. Not that there's anything wrong or good or bad about it, but the fact is he was against Trump. And we're doing something new, Hugh, and I think it's actually kind of beneficial for our core readership in D.C., which is we're running a lot of these ads that are on TV across the country, along with Ad Impact, which tracks ads. It's a great service that we are a member of. And I think it's actually really interesting to see how these races are playing out, because otherwise you get ads that the campaigns send you that they want to see, but they don't always send you the ads that they're trying to do kind of under the radar, or they don't want the national media to know about. So I think this is like a really interesting feature that we're starting.
I also think we're going to see more of what happened last night, which is Republican candidates arranging or accepting invitations from center-right commentators like me and conservative public policy groups like the Center for Christian Virtue, with 1,500 people who bought tickets to be in the Genoa Church in Columbus, and we went for 2.5 hours, Jake. That's a demand signal. That's the demand signal for increased coverage. It's probably why Punch Bowl News is doing so well, and people want the morning report. I also think we see it in Virginia, where, as you note this morning, President Biden will be going tomorrow in, I think, what is going to be a losing effort to try and resurrect Terry McAuliffe. I think he is sinking. I don't think President Obama helped him. I think Glenn Youngkin's bus was out there over the weekend. I followed it closely. The latest poll from Mary Washington University has Youngkin up 4. How do you see the race unfolding in Virginia?
You know, I don't have a good sense. Listen, here's what I keep going back to. If Biden won by 10 and McAuliffe loses, Democrats are in big, big, big trouble. I mean, just epically big trouble because, I thought, and I think you and I have talked about this before, I thought Virginia had realigned. I really did. I thought, you know, Democrats have won it in the last several presidential contests. Both senators are Democrats. Northern Virginia has become a blue bastion anchored by Arlington and Alexandria and your neck of the woods, you. But I'll be shocked if McAuliffe loses. But and it will be, I will say this, though, it will be a massive warning signal for Democrats. They will take it. They've told me about the nearly $2 trillion reconciliation bill that they're trying to get through Congress right now.
Yeah, people need to separate noise from signal. And a McAuliffe loss would be a huge signal because Virginia has realigned. It's like Massachusetts now. But Massachusetts often elects Republican governors, whether it's Charlie Baker or Mitt Romney. You go back to the old days. And they do that, Bill Weld, because they need a Republican to come in and order the state's finances. And Glenn Young, in this case, the education system. If people want to follow these state races, get Punchbowl News. Just go over there and subscribe. Now I want to move to your in-depth coverage of reconciliation this morning, Jake. And I appreciate it because this is complicated and people need to know. There's going to be a wealth tax. The Wall Street Journal lead story this morning is on the wealth tax that's going to come out of Ron Wyden's committee. And its constitutionality will be suspect because I don't think it's an income tax. It's a wealth tax. And the question is there authority for a wealth tax in the Constitution? But explain to people how we got here, because it'll be a billionaire's tax. And I'm actually not against it. I just need it to be fairly administered.
Yeah, it's interesting. Most Republicans are not against it. And that's why you're not going to hear Republicans discuss the tax element. So let's talk about this tax for a second. So what it will do is it will tax people. We don't know the rate. We don't know much of anything on people who make $100 million a year more than 3 years in a row. It will tax existing gains. There'll be a one-time existing gains tax, I believe. Here's the problem with this. You just alluded to this. It is incredibly, incredibly, incredibly complex, and you're asking the tax writing committee, the Ways and Means Committee in the House, is against this. They don't like this. They did not include this in their bill. But Kyrsten Sinema is unwilling to raise taxes on anybody. She voted against the Trump tax cut, interestingly enough, but is now is holding up kind of increased corporate tax and marginal top rate. So the question now becomes, here's what's really interesting to me. Democrats have been running on having rich people pay their fair share for a long time, and now they're not doing that. If you're rich, if you're what John Bresnan and I called this morning nearly rich or normally filthy rich, you get off fine in this bill. You're completely fine. You don't get your assets, do not get touched, no marginal income tax increase, no corporate rate increase. So it's pretty good for rich people. But for the, several hundred billionaires and people who make uber fortunes, this is going to be quite difficult. And you alluded to this. I don't understand how they do this in a way that makes sense. I just don't understand.
And in a way that's constitutional. There is a serious argument about whether or not a wealth tax. And by the way, the working wealthy will avoid any hit from the Democrats because they've done away with stepped up basis. They've done away with the pass through elimination. They're looking at billionaires tax. And if they get away with it, they'll get applause from the Republicans for not screwing the people who are working and look on paper to be wealthy, but aren't, because they don't realize their gains. They pass it on to their children in the form of farms and small businesses. Let me ask you, though, Jake Sherman, about those two votes, Manchin and Sinema. Do you hear if they are on board? Because I haven't seen Joe Manchin actually say yes to anything other than the infrastructure bill. And interestingly enough, last night of the 6 Republicans on the stage, only one, State Senator Matt Dolan, endorsed Rob Portman's negotiated infrastructure package. 5 others said no. You know, I'm not sure that the Republicans could get 60 votes again because it hasn't really gone over well. I think McConnell did it as a tactic, but I don't know if it survives this time around.
Well, here's the interesting. So a few things. I don't know if it would get 60 again, and it's going to need some technical correction. It's going to need to go back to the Senate in one way, shape, or form, but in the form of a technical corrections package, which would change them. We should write about this, but which would change some dates and some other things because this was passed so long ago. Don't know if it would get 60. It might just get folded into the reconciliation bill, to be honest with you. I'm not sure if they could do that.
Then it only needs 50. That's why that's important.
Yeah, then it only needs 50. Yeah, listen, Sinema and Manchin are playing this very close to the vest. We wrote last week, the White House is focusing on Manchin. They see him as a more, an easier broker on this stuff, and then they're just going to put a world of pressure on Sinema to come on board. That's their theory of the case. I think that Manchin will get there. I mean, Manchin, think about how much he's dragged this package in his direction. He's dragged it from 3.5 to 1.5 to 2. He's gotten rid of tax increases. It's basically Joe Manchin's package now. I mean, this isn't Bernie Sanders' package. There's no free community college. They've eliminated much of the Medicare expansion. This is a package that Joe Manchin has driven the train on. I mean, and that's impressive for an individual senator. But as Biden said, and Biden's right about this, as every single senator is a president right now. And every single senator could control the contours of this package.
Now, but let me go back to the signal we got last night. 5 of 6 well-funded Republican Senate candidates said no to the infrastructure side of it. And so they're campaigning on Rob Portman made a mistake. State Senator Matt Dolan, who's chair of appropriations for infrastructure in Ohio, is in favor of this because he said, I visited the roads and the bridges. He's like Rob Portman, center right. And so if the Republican Party has moved away from the compromise forged by Rob Portman and Mitch McConnell, can you imagine where they are now? And if Glenn Youngkin wins, won't House Democrats say, oh, my gosh, what's going on in the countryside?
Especially because Terry McAuliffe is campaigning on Biden's agenda. You know what I mean? That is the especially interesting thing. I don't make much, to be honest. I hear your point on the Republicans campaigning against infrastructure, but I do think it's easy to say that on the campaign trail. It's easy to be no. Government's not popular, and government has done this. So I just tend to think that that's a good position for them to be in.
Jake Sherman, just keep up the great reporting. I think if people go and subscribe to PunchbowlNews.com, they'll have a great starter pack every morning to listen to this show. Jake Sherman, thank you. Follow him at Jake Sherman on Twitter. Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt in Columbus at the studios of 98.9 The Answer after moderating the Republican debate for Senate last. And I got to thank Aaron Light and Alan Rogers and Ann Ray. Carolyn Cassidy is our market manager for Salem. Greg Cassidy, her husband, is my chauffeur this morning. Bruce Hooley drove me around last night and kicked off our debate. Ryan Moran, who's the operations manager. Jeff Murtaugh's board op here. Great family of Salem professionals. Just saw Bob Burney out there, and Bob's a legend in Columbus. He owns Christian Radio in Columbus, and it's just great to work with him. Josh Krashauer joins me inside the Beltway. Josh, we had 6 Republican candidates last night at a debate that went 2.5 hours, and they are 5 of them are in one lane, 1 is in another. It's going to be interesting to me. Have you ever seen a Senate race with 6 candidates, all of whom have millions of dollars in the bank?
This is a wide-open Republican primary, Hugh, and you're right. There are different shades of conservative in the race. There's some more confrontational conservatives. You know, Josh Mandel certainly trying to hold his right-wing flank. But I think J.D. Vance is the Republican to watch. I also would pay close attention to Jane Timken, who's not polling quite that well right now, but has money, has establishment support. Rob Portman's wife, I think, did a fundraiser for her. Those are the two Republicans I think have the most room to grow in the coming months as we start to pay attention to this primary.
Let me name check a couple of other people. Bernie Moreno. If you go by audience, the people I talked to in passing as I left the building last night, 1,500 people at this debate. And it will all be posted at my the 2 hours will be posted at my webcast later today, my podcast, the interview with Hugh Hewitt. Bernie Moreno impressed a lot of people who had never heard of him before, and the man has assets, and he can be on the air. Mike Gibbons has this folksy Cleveland touch, the Irish Catholic immigrant who's been very, 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 very successful. And then Matt Dolan, State Senator Matt Dolan, whose family owns the Indians/Guardians. Matt is in the Rob Portman lane. Of the 6 Republicans, this is interesting, Josh, only one, Matt Dolan, endorsed the infrastructure bill negotiated by Rob Portman, the people they are trying to succeed. I mean, the Republican Party is moving right.
Yep. No, it's a wide open. Yeah, I mean, the fact that we'll see what Dolan has money to, so we'll see if he can get some traction in that lane. You know, I talked to Bernie Moreno, a businessman from the Cleveland area. Very, very impressive story, and he's someone to watch, especially if he spends that money and gets on the airwaves. But, yeah, this is a wide-open primary. No one really is familiar with a lot of the candidates in the next 6-7 months before the primary are going to really, you know, the campaign is really going to decide who wins.
You know, I thought this morning of a book called As Ohio Goes, because they will have this primary concluded in May, and then whoever wins it will be up against Tim Ryan, who is the Warren Youngstown man, who quarterback for the Youngstown Penguins, who went to my high school and is from Warren. And Tim Ryan will be an old-style Democrat, and Ohio can only accept so much money. I mean, there's only so many outlets. Like, you know, there are three major media markets, five if you count Toledo and Dayton, in addition to Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Columbus. There isn't enough space for the money that's going to pour into Ohio. It's going to be sort of a microcosm of politics in 2022, what happens in the Buckeye State, Josh.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ryan is a very good candidate. He is trying to kind of run on that Sherrod Brown working class message, has that same kind of vibe, being from the same part of Northeast Ohio as Brown. Raised a lot of money himself, $2.5 million in the last quarter. So people who think Ohio is automatically in the Republican column, I think in a good Republican year it should be, but Ryan is a good candidate, and we have a very unsettled Republican primary field.
That was the first question I asked last night. I said, I know Tim Ryan. I've worked with Tim Ryan. Tim Ryan is a friend of mine, and Tim Ryan is not a pushover. Tim Ryan is a formidable candidate. Why are you best positioned to beat him? And we got six good answers. People can go listen to it. But Josh, I got to get your update on Virginia. I've been gone for 3 days in Ohio. Glenn Youngkin's already got my vote. I voted early. Fetching Mrs. Hewitt voted early. I think the early vote for the Republicans is strong. I think Glenn Youngkin is surging. According to the Mary Washington poll, he's up by 4 points. What do you think and feel about this race?
Yeah, the momentum is with Glenn Youngkin. There's no doubt about it. I covered a campaign event with him in Burke, Virginia, right outside Washington, D.C., and it was an overflow crowd of about 1,000 people. And it's my neck of the woods. We haven't seen that many Republicans in Fairfax County at any event that I can remember, maybe since Bob McDonnell in 2009, or maybe Mitt Romney in the presidential race. So there's clearly energy on the Republican side that I think a lot of people didn't necessarily expect for a guy, an outsider, a guy who wasn't really engaged in politics before this year, like Glenn Youngkin. McAuliffe is also stumped. I mean, I'm really surprised that McAuliffe, on education in particular, really hasn't found a message. He's really been stumbling. His talking point of calling the parental frustrations a racist dog whistle over critical race theory is not working. I think it really is only aggravating the Republican base and alienating some of the moderate suburban voters that have made education.
He keeps stepping on that rake. And last night, I think he stepped on it 7 times, hits him in the face. And President Obama stepped on that rake, too, when he came in for him. Last night, these Republican candidates couldn't talk enough about CRT. I mean, we could have spent the whole debate on CRT. Even when we didn't bring up CRT, they brought up CRT. Because the grassroots, Josh, do you agree, is a fire with this issue?
Yeah, I actually was in Columbus a few months ago, and it was a suburban blue-leaning community, and that was the top issue at one of the Republican candidates' campaign events. It's the number two issue, and maybe number one issue in the state of Virginia, depending on what poll you look at. That's why Youngkin is moving a lot of these moderate voters and getting momentum in the late days of the campaign.
You should be following Josh Kroshaw at Hotline Josh on Twitter. Follow me back to the Beltway, where I'll be tomorrow. Thanks again to AM9. 98.9, and thanks to the Center for Christian Virtue for sponsoring. I will be back in Washington, D.C. tomorrow, America, on the next Hugh Hewitt Show.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.